there's a rose in Bethlehem with a beauty quite divine, perfect in this world of sin. On this silent holy night, there's a fragrance much like sends upon the wind, reaching out to every soul from a lowly manger's crib. Oh, Rose of Bethlehem, how lovely, pure and sweet, born to glory.
You know, joy should be synonymous with the word Christian. Joy. When we think of a Christian, we should think of joy. When people look at my life as a believer, not as a preacher, as a believer, when people look at your life as a professor of Jesus Christ, as one who has professed Christ as their own personal Savior, our lives ought to radiate with joy. Joy ought to exude from our bodies, from our beings. And I think about how can that happen? How can that be the testimony of every believer? You know, I believe with all of my heart it's the desire of every believer and non-believer alike. But how can we have lasting joy, fullness of joy? How can we have that? Can I tell you, it's attainable. Can I tell you that Jesus has paved the way for man, woman, boy, girl to have joy in their life. And I want to talk to you from the Bible how you can have that joy. I want to show you, first of all, that it's possible that you have that joy. And then I want to give you the recipe that Jesus gave to have that joy. Now, it's not just any joy, as we shall see. This is a special joy. It's a special joy. Because it's not just a generic kind of joy. It's not a passing joy. It's a joy that the Bible says, if you look in verse number 11, it's a joy that shall remain. It's a joy that's going to stay with us, that my joy might remain. It's not only constant, but it's continuous. It's full. Look what he said here. He said that your joy, in verse number 11 again, might be full. Full of joy. What person would not want that in life? You say, but now, preacher, Jesus said in this life you shall have tribulation. But right after that, he said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So you can have joy in the presence of tribulation. We as believers can count it all joy, even though there's trials and temptations, there's sorrow and heartache. We can have joy. 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 It ought to be something that we wake up every morning with, that we carry on in our hearts through the day, that we lay our heads down and sleep with at night. The joy of the Lord. Paul put it this way, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Now why would God, through Paul, inspire him to write that we ought to rejoice always if it wasn't possible? It is possible. You know, I don't want to get too deep into this, but oftentimes when we're asked to quote a verse of Scripture, we that don't memorize Scripture much will get over there to John 11 and quote verse 35, Jesus wept. And we'll say, well, that's the shortest verse in the Scripture. Well, you know, it is. And I don't want to get, because I have a perfect English Bible, and I don't want to tamper with that at all. It's God's Word. But can I tell you, if you were reading a Greek Bible this morning, if you were in Greece where we have missionaries representing us today, the shortest verse in the Bible is not John 4:35. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. That's right. You say, is it that simple? Well, it's that attainable. Rejoice evermore. Always be rejoicing. Why? Because we have something and someone to rejoice about. Amen. Amen. But now, preacher, you don't understand. I've been through this and this and this. And we all go through trial. We all go through heartache. We all go through sorrow. It's a part of life. But in spite of that, we can have joy. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and yet he is a man of great joy. And so I want to give you the recipe right out of the Bible. You got a recipe book? This might be one that you ought to put on the front page. The recipe for joy. Not from some preacher, not from some denomination, not from some church affiliation, but from the Son of the living God himself. This is what he said. Let's look at it. Okay? Joy. Are you joyful? No, really. This is not just empty talk. I'm not just filling space here. I'm serious. Listen, joy is something that every believer needs to be experiencing continuously. It ought not be just something that stops and goes and comes and leaves. It ought to be something that's flowing through the believer. Flowing like a river. Oh, listen, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up as a Christian. But when I got saved, I can remember the folks that we went to church with teaching the little children, singing, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." And they would say, "Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart." Amen. Joy. Flowing. We teach the little children to have joy. You know, we would get real concerned if little children had no joy. Why don't we get concerned when adults don't have joy? We ought to be just as concerned when adults are not skipping and smiling. You say, what is there to skip and smile about? I don't know about you, but my sins have been forgiven. I'm going to heaven, amen. I know God, the Creator, through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Going to heaven, brethren. It's real. Listen, what we celebrate today is real. It's real. God sent His Son. And He did so for you and me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, that's something to get excited about. Joy. Joy. How can we have joy? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Can I tell you the Bible's always right? It's always right. The Bible's never wrong. The Bible is the Word of God. I tell you, I get overwhelmed when I really think about that. The Bible is the Word of God. Think about that. You know, maybe it would help us if we quit referring to this book as the Bible and just started referring to it as the Word of God. See, I don't want to take that edge off of what we hold in our hands today. Somehow, if we're not careful and we start using different terms for this book, we'll think, well, it's just the word of man. Oh, no. This is the Word of God. And God said, I want to tell you how every one of you, doesn't matter what background you come from, it doesn't matter what financial bracket you're in, it doesn't matter on which side of the tracks you live on, God said, I want to tell you how every one of you this Christmas day can not only experience joy, but that joy will be continuous in your life. He said, I want to give you the recipe for it. You got your pens ready? You ready for this? It's God's recipe. God's recipe never fails. He's got a recipe for things. He's got a recipe how to get to heaven. Do you know that? There's only one way to get to heaven. Do you know God's recipe to get to heaven? There's salvation in none other. That's right. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Ye must be born again. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's God's recipe, brethren. You see, God also has a recipe for peace. Study the scriptures. Peace I give unto you. Listen, my peace, he said, give I unto you. Not as the world giveth. Oh, the world has a peace. But listen, oh, that peace not lasting. It's not real. It's not. Oh, listen, Jesus has a peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Jesus brought that peace. But here today is joy. Let's look at verse number 11 and see a few things about this joy. Well, we know that as Christians, if we're going to serve God, and we ought to serve Him. Amen. Say amen with me now. Are you saved this morning? Amen. You ought to serve God with your life. But now don't serve Him with sadness. Serve Him with joy. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. How am I going to do that, preacher? Well, the Bible says in the book of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you know that? That's right. Oh, I get weary in the work, but I never get weary of the work. I thank God that I can serve Him. I thank God that I can serve Him, and I want to serve Him with joy, with gladness. How can I do that? Well, the Bible says in verse number 11 that there's a source of this joy. See, many people go to different sources to try to find joy. It can be a number of different things, and I could just start calling them off, and sooner or later, if I stood up here and called it off, you'd say, that's me. That's where I'm looking for joy. It's in my family, preacher. It's in my business. It's in my amusement. It's in my money. And we could go on and on and on, and we say, that's where it is. We may not want to admit it, but when we chisel it down and we begin to really turn it inside and investigate, we'll see that we're relying on a certain thing to bring us joy, when in reality, it's just a passing joy that will not remain. It's not real. But Jesus said, I want to have you to experience something that is eternal, that is real, and it's a source. Notice what he said in verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you that joy might remain in you. That's not what he said, is it? My joy. This is not just any joy. Jesus has a joy. He said, I don't want to give you just any joy. I want you to experience my joy. Amen. My joy. Is that what he said? These things have I spoken unto you. Right? Is that what he said? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy. He said, not that you might have joy. He said, I want you to experience my joy. Now here's the source of joy. God, the creator of all things, the originator of all that there is, has this emotion, has this experience that he wants every individual to experience. And Jesus said, I want you to know something about my joy. Not just joy. My joy. Are you experiencing his joy? Are you? Are you experiencing his joy? He said, I want my joy to be in you. I want you to know something about my joy. What is that joy? You say, now wait a minute, preacher. Jesus joyful? Isn't he the man of sorrows? Well, the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he hath borne our iniquities, carried our grief. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He is a man of sorrows. But even in the midst of sorrow, for the joy that was set before him, he did the will of the Father. Don't you think they had to wrestle Jesus to the ground and drag him to that cross? He came for that reason. That's why we celebrate this day. He came for that purpose. Oh, preacher, they had to hog time and drag him to Calvary. Oh, no, he came voluntarily. He laid down his life and he took it up again. Hallelujah to God. Praise God for that. That's why we can experience his joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. I want you just for a moment to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 1, and I want to paint you a picture from the scripture of the Son of God that perhaps you are not very familiar with. Hebrews chapter 1, would you turn there? Thank God for Jesus, born the King of angels. Amen. Oh, listen, the book of Hebrews, notice if you would in chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews in verse number 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. I'm in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten, into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Watch this now. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Nobody has joy like Jesus has joy. No one. He has the anointing of gladness. the anointing of joy above all. And he said, I want to share it with you. I am the source of joy, and I want you. I am the source of joy, and I want you to experience my joy. You know, don't think for a moment, please, as we turn back to John chapter 15, please don't think that Jesus walked around all sad on this earth with his head down and sit, you know, all sad and broken. That's not Jesus. That's not the biblical Jesus. That's not the Son of God. You know, Jesus enjoyed his life so immensely that he was not only the life of the party, he was the life at the party. He was life. And he went. You say, Jesus? Oh, he's constantly gathering with people. You know, if you were to take your Bible, and I want you to turn there in Luke chapter 7, there's something you should know about Jesus. Now, if you were to say that John the Baptist was very strict and straight-laced and didn't smile a whole lot, well, if you eat locusts and wild honey, you might not. Say, amen. Not too much to get excited about on that menu. However, in Luke, turn to chapter 7. I just want to show you something about Jesus, what he said in verse number 31. I'm in Luke chapter number 7. And I'm going to read just a few verses out of chapter 7. I'm going to read just verse 31, down through verse number maybe 35. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned to you and you have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified in all her children. See, Jesus always was spending time with people, always sharing joy, always sitting with them in such a way that they pointed their finger at him and said, a wine bibber and a gluttonous. Look at him. He's a friend with everyone. He's enjoying his life. And those old Pharisees and Sadducees, they thought that enjoying life was being carnal and it wasn't spiritual to be joyful. But I'm here to tell you, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Amen. The joy of Jesus ought to be resonating through your life, in my life. Joy. He said, well, we want him to be like others. Why can't he be sad like this prophet, or sad like John, or why can't he be all this and all that? Jesus began his earthly ministry and the miracles in Cana of Galilee by what? Going to a wedding. Doesn't get much more joyous than a wedding. I should have heard a great big amen over here. I'm telling you, your fiancés, amen, I'm telling them. Right? What a joyous occasion. And Jesus made his way there. And even participating in making it a more joyful time. Joy. The source of joy, back to John chapter 15, is Jesus. He said in verse number 11, he said, I want you to experience my joy. Did you get that? That's the source. I want you to know something about my joy. Number two, not only the source of joy, but the stability of joy. You say, preacher, sometimes I have joy, and then sometimes I just get so down and I get depressed and discouraged. Can I tell you that we all experience a variety of emotions in life? And listen, they can happen so suddenly. They can. But there's an anchor to the soul. That in spite of whatever man experiences, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can rejoice in the Lord. You might not be able to rejoice in your situation. You might not, and I may not be able to rejoice in a circumstance or a happening, but we can always rejoice in the Lord because He's never changing. He's steady. He's stable. And so therefore, when our joy is based in the source, and can I tell you, the stability of our joy is going to be connected to the source of our joy. Let me show you what I mean. If, and some of you is going to take me wrong, but I want you to hear me through now before you frown. If your joy is your wife, and that is the sole source of your joy, it's not going to last. It's not. Now, I do realize the Bible teaches in the book of Proverbs, for you ladies, thank God, it says that a man ought to rejoice with the wife of his youth. Say amen right there. Amen. There you go. Take that one home with you this Christmas. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's right. You ought to rejoice. You say, well, I ain't rejoicing. There's something broke with you and your marriage. However, you ought to rejoice with the wife of your youth. The scripture teaches that. However, if the source of your joy is in your wife alone, it's not lasting. Because one day, one of you is going to pass. What if your wife passes? Then where's your joy going to go? With her? Going to die with her? Listen, I don't wish that upon anyone, but I see it happen all the time. It could be family. Listen, if you're the source of your joy is work, business. Listen to me now. One day, you might go out of business. Then where's your joy going to go? Out with it. And we could go on and on now. All these are important things. Money takes money to survive. Big amen right there from everybody. Takes it. Listen, takes money to make it in this world. But that ought not be the source of our joy. Because one day, money's going to crash. Listen to me now. It's going to crash, and it may crash in me before it does the rest of the world. Amen. But one day it's going to happen. Then what you going to do about joy? Is it going to go with it? No, Jesus never changes, brethren. Notice what he said. That he said, these things have I spoken unto you. In verse number 11, he said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain. I want it to stay right there. I want it to be stable. I don't want it changing. I want it to remain. When your joy, remember when those disciples over in the Gospel of Luke, you don't have to turn there in chapter 10, they went out and they came back and boy, I mean, they were kicking their heels up. Woo! What's wrong, fellas? Nothing wrong. We're happy, Jesus. What you happy about, guys? Well, the devils are subject unto us in thy name. Woo! Hey, man. He said, whoa, wait a minute. There might come a day when the devils are not subject. Now, he didn't say this, but he implied this. May not be subject to you in my name. Actually, they lived to experience that. Remember when they came down from the mountain, Jesus and the three disciples, the Mount Transfiguration, and there were the disciples, and the Father had brought his son. And he went to Jesus, and he said, hey, I brought my son to your disciples because he's got devils, and they couldn't do nothing. The devils wasn't subject unto him, were they? So he said, hey, be careful about now where you get your joy. Don't place your joy in the devils being subject to you in my name. He said, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. See, that never changes. Amen. Amen. So the stability of our joy is directly connected to the source of our joy. When my joy is in the Lord, anything can happen. And though there may be sadness, there'll be joy backing it up. Though there may be hurt, there'll be joy prompting it up. Amen. Recipe for joy. It's got to be Jesus' joy, my joy, the source. It's got to be a stable joy. You can't just go through life, just, you know, amusement and finding in all of these different things, joy in this and joy in that and joy in this and joy in that. Listen, happiness and joy are separate, and I don't have time this morning to go into that, but joy is in the Lord, and it's lasting, it's stable, it's continuous, it's constant. I read a story this week about Joseph Scriven. Now, I turned to a song that he wrote. And I'm going to share just a line or two of it with you here in just a moment. But I want to tell you something about the joy of Jesus, okay? The joy of Jesus is so stable that it's steadfast in sorrow. That's right. Paul wrote to the believers in Thessalonica. He said, I'm writing to you because I don't want you to sorrow as others, which have no hope. That's right. That even though that something as death comes, you can still have joy in the midst of sorrows. You can. When your joy is in the Lord. Not only is it steadfast in sorrows, but it's triumphant in tribulation. Did you know in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 that Paul said we rejoice in tribulation? You say, preacher, I haven't gotten there yet. Well, we need to hone in. We're going to find out how we can do that in just a moment, but I want to give you this. When Paul and Silas were in a bad way, remember that old Philippian jail that they were in, cold and dark and damp, and they were beaten with lashes and thrown into prison. What did they do? Sit there and sing deep blue depression and misery? That's not what they did. The Bible says they began to pray and to sing praises unto God. Sounds like they've got a little joy in their life. And the power of God failed, didn't it? It sure did. Joy. You mean, preacher, that you can have joy and be in prison? When your joy is in the Lord, you can. You mean that you can have joy and experience pain? When your joy is in the Lord, you can. What's your joy in this morning? Here's Jesus' recipe for joy. It's got to be His joy. Amen. It's got to be a joy that He gives. It's got to be a joy that will remain, and if it is His joy, it will. Let me tell you about Joseph Scriven, missionary. Joseph Scriven, missionary to Ireland. Actually, he was a missionary from Ireland to a particular group of Native Americans. And he had gotten engaged to be married. And oh, he and his fiancée were so full of joy. They were so excited. He came here to deal with some Native Americans, and he told his fiancée, he said, join me later and we'll get married in the States and we'll serve God together. Well, Mr. Scriven came on over and he served God with those Indians. And in writing back and forth to his wife, he had learned, when she quit writing for a while, he had learned from her family that she had died tragically in an accident. Joseph Scriven was such a saint of God who understood what it is for your source of joy to be in Jesus. He penned these words. Remember, the love of his life. He had just gotten the news. Gone. Dead. Let's see. You tell me if you think he had joy. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now this is my favorite part. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Didn't you just lose the love of your life? Yeah, but I didn't lose my joy. Because my joy, the source of my joy, was not in the love of my life. She brought me joy. But the source of my joy was in the ultimate love of my soul, which is Jesus, the lover of my soul. And so I can say, we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Stability. Stability. Thirdly, not only is there a source of joy, it's the joy of Jesus, my joy. There's a stability, and he said that it shall remain. But then there's a sufficiency. I want you to notice one word, and then I'll give you a few thoughts, and we'll close today. Look, if you would, in verse number 11, that your joy might be what? Full. Jesus doesn't give half tanks. Amen. When your joy, the source of my joy and your joy is in Jesus this Christmas season and every day, there's going to be a stability in joy and there's going to be a sufficiency of joy. It's going to be full. Full. But now it's your choice and it's my choice. And so I want to tell you the secret of it. Preacher, how can I have Jesus' joy? How can that source be my source? How can that stability be my stability? How can that sufficiency that I would have the fullness of joy? The psalmist wrote that at thy right hands there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand. Amen. Psalm 16:11. Peter said, rejoice in the Lord. Amen. With joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what Peter said. And yet there's so few Christians today that are filled with joy. Why? Don't know that we're using the recipe. So let me give it to you. All right? Preacher, how can I have it? Jesus said it's here. Did you get the secret in verse number 11? How are we going to have this joy? Did you see it? If you saw it, raise your hand. Raise it high now. I got that joy. Amen. I saw it, preacher. Here it is. Don't miss it. Verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you. Why? That my joy. I want you to experience something. So I told you something. Jesus has told us something. That we might experience something. That's past tense. Right? Yeah. I want you to experience my joy. And I want it to remain. I want it to be full. I want you to have this. How can we have it? He said, well, I spoke them to you. What did he say? He said, we have this relationship. And he said, the Father is the husbandman. See chapter 15, verse 1. He said, I am the true vine and my Father's the husbandman. He's kind of the caretaker. But I'm the vine. And he said, guess what you are? You're the branches. Are you a branch this morning? Are you? If you're saved, you are. Amen. If you're saved in the grace of God and you have professed Jesus Christ through the repentance of sin and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are a branch of the one true vine, Jesus Christ. Does that mean I have joy? Mm-mm. Now, some of the vines, well, they don't bring fruit, and so we see where the Bible says that in verse number 6, they withered, and men gather them. That's right. They go through life miserable. You say, preacher, is it possible for a Christian to be saved and be miserable? Oh, I don't know. Have you read Psalm 51? I think it is. Have you read about Peter going out and weeping bitterly? I'd say he was miserable. Right? Have you read about Jonah going down and getting on that ship? You think Jonah was full of joy? Mm-mm. Not every Christian's full of joy. Those that run from God and those that won't do His will and those that won't bring forth fruit and those that won't take God's word and those that take God's word lightly. See, they don't have joy. They do not have joy. Do you have joy? You can. You should. You're living below your privileges if you don't. Mark these three things in your Bible and we'll pray and you go home and put this recipe to work. Number one, you want joy? Verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You can't even have joy without Jesus. Got to be totally dependent. Have you ever seen a branch? What are you doing, branch? I'm trying to bring fruit. Wouldn't that? Yeah, we would laugh at that, wouldn't we? But yet we think that's what we're supposed to do. Jesus said, you're not going to get joy by trying to get joy. Hey, listen, it's not my job to produce fruit. It's my job to bear it. Read the scripture. The Spirit of God produces it. But as a branch, I bear it. You understand that? See, I've got to get everything I get from the vine. But when I begin to be dependent on me, then I lose my joy. I'm giving you the secret of joy this morning. Don't miss it now. There are so many Christians that think it's, you know, I've got to do this, 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 that, this, this, and then I'll have joy. Now, you're going to get joy by resting in the vine. Trusting in the vine. depending on the vine to do what it's designed to do. You just be the branch. Amen. That's number one. That's what the word abide means. Just continue. Just rest. Abide in me. You want to have joy? Just rest in Jesus. Just take His word. Verse number 5, look at that last phrase. Without me, you can do nothing. Is that your attitude this morning? See, that spirit of humility brings joy. God, I can't even walk without you. God, I can't do anything without you. You with me this morning, church? God, I can't do anything without you. I can't move. I can't go about and do the things I desire. I can't think. I can't speak. God, I can't do anything without you. I'm totally dependent on you, Lord. The joy of the Lord will begin to resonate in your heart when you live your life that way. Abide in me, he said. Stay in me. Continue in me. Don't you go out there on your own and think you can do it, because you can't do anything without the Lord. Yes, I can, preacher. No, you can't. Yes, I can. No, you can't. Yes, I... We're not going to argue with him. Jesus said you can't, and I'm going to take his word. Without me. Is that what he said, verse number 5? I can do nothing. All right? Last thing. So here it is. You got to rest in him. You got to depend on him. You want joy? You got to abide in him. All right? And then the last thing. You got to surrender. You have to surrender. See, that's what the branch does. It just surrenders. The branch realizes it's not the vine. So many Christians think, I'm the vine. I'm responsible. I'm responsible. See, responsibility is not me. It's me responding to his ability. And I'm going to say that again. Responsibility is not about me. It's about my response to his ability. You either believe you can do it all or you believe you can do nothing. Where are you at this morning? If you're not depending on God for everything, you're not going to have that full joy. But when you realize, you know, I can't do anything without God, God will give you a joy like you've never experienced in your life. He will. And so that's our secret to joy. You got to believe that there's nothing you can do without Jesus. You got to depend on him, all right? And then you've got to realize that it's total surrender. Here I am, Lord. I'm high. I'm keeping back nothing. Let's all stand to our feet. Many of you may know F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer is an author of years ago. A great Christian. A pastor. And he told the story of a young man who came to preach at the church that he pastored. And he said, I saw a joy in that young man like that I had never seen in another Christian and that I had never experienced as a Christian. And so I went to him one night and I said, young man, I see a joy in you like I've never seen. Like I've never experienced. He said, can I ask you, what's the secret of your joy? And he said, the young man looked at him and said, Mr. Meyer, does Jesus have it all? And he said, I thought surely there's got to be more. And he said, that's it? And he said, well, I'll leave you with this. Does Jesus have it all? And he said, he went back to his room and for days, that's all he could think about. Does Jesus have it all? Now listen, I don't put much stock in dreams. But he said he went to sleep one night. And he heard the voice as if it were the voice of God. And he said, FB, give me the keys. The keys? Give me the keys. You know what I'm talking about. Give me the keys. And he said he, in his dream, seen himself giving God keys. But he had one small key in his hand. And he gave him all but that one small key. You gonna give me that one? You gonna give me that key? You mean give them all? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Give me all. He put the key in his hand. He said, the next day I woke up under such conviction that I didn't step out of bed. I crawled out of bed and next to my bed and I prayed and said, God, I want to give you my all. I trust you with my life. And he said, there was a peace and a joy that flowed through me like I've never had before. You know, many of us are willing to give God this and give God that, but can I tell you something? God deserves nothing less than everything because God gave everything. And if God gave it all, why won't we give it all? You willing to do that this morning? If you are, then you can have joy. Let's bow our heads together.